The rest of us, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 this morning. And I'm going to try to keep the RPMs up so we can be done and get into our time. But we got to do what we're here to do, and we're going to do it. At the same time, speaking of watching the time, how many of us are old enough to know about Timex watches? But most everybody in here that I thought so. Yeah, some of you even got time. You probably had the same Timex watch since probably 1972 or something like that. Because they were supposed to last forever. That was their advertisement. They were what? They're going to take a licking and keep on ticking. And they sold a lot of watches with that, didn't they? And they'd do some crazy commercials, right? Like drop it off a building or run it over with a car or smash it with a hammer. They do all kind of stuff and just say it keeps a licking and takes a licking and keep on ticking. What's that got to do with the Bible and your life, right? Aside from the fact that we all seem to have an obsession with watching time all the time, keeping track of time and got to fit as much as we can into our time and time getting away from us, right? How many of y'all looking in the mirror and not seeing who used to be there, right? Time just goes on, don't it? The question is as believers, as servants of the Lord, as saved people who are saved by the blood of Christ, people of faith, as I hope we can embrace in this particular congregation, if we're going to be people of faith, we need to become or continue to become a Timex style Christian servant. All right, we're not going to be watches, but we're going with Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and the Spirit of God dwelling in us, and the Word of God living in us, active and living. We should be able to take a licking and keep on ticking on a spiritual level. I'm not saying never be weak. I'm not saying never feel defeated. I'm not saying in a bad way on a spiritual level or even a physical level or even a mental level. I'm not saying that can't happen to us. I'm saying we can't lose if we have the Lord. If we know Jesus for who he is, for who the Bible explains he is, our Lord and Savior. He's the new high priest. He's the one who is, everything is centered around him. He is the center of it all. He holds it all together. He's our strength in weakness. He's our hope in despair. He's everything we need, and then some. And if you're like me, and I suspect that you are, it's times get tough. For a lot of different reasons. And you just run out of mental energy. You run out of physical energy. You run out of patience on an emotional level from time to time. Which all affects your spiritual health, doesn't it? If you allow it. But I want to learn a few things. I think last week I told you the epic battle with the letter F that I had experienced in my life back in my childhood days of school going. I've seen that letter way too many times to do me any good. However, we're going to talk about that letter again today a little bit in a different way. All right? Because let me explain why Timex before I move off of this watch company. The reason they call themselves Timex is because it was known, I don't even know how far back, but the letter X or the symbol X was used as it was always known as a symbol of advanced technology. You ever know that? You ever heard of that before? It's just what intellectual people, they would use that letter X to show, which makes sense. Why a guy named Elon Musk would name his kid X or call his new Twitter company X. Why he's in love with this symbol. That makes sense now. We are not X, and we're not watches. We're something much more valuable and much more durable than all of that. The reason that I want to talk about all of that was because there are times, even when things are great and God's blessings are obvious, that we can get tired, that we can be distracted, or that we can feel weary, or that we can just be vulnerable to other influences than what we know to be true, you see. And that's why we are constantly depending, leaning on the Lord for strength and wisdom and courage. Because you and I know very well that without Jesus and his presence in our life, we can't do anything to please the Lord in the way that he would call us to do it. Go out and make disciples? Go out and tell people about Jesus on our own? No. Go into the world and make disciples and I'll go with you wherever you go? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it's necessary. Stand firm in your faith. We just talked this morning in our Bible study about holding fast to the hope that we have in Christ. That's not possible without the strength that we get from our Savior. Isn't that great? Our faith is strengthened by the things that come out of the Word of God, by the presence of His Holy Spirit, by the congregation of other believers in our life that continue to pour in that strength and that faith. Sometimes I just need to borrow y'all's faith for just a moment. Sometimes I need to borrow y'all's encouragement for just a moment. And same thing with y'all. We feed off of one another in that way. And that's why we are a people of faith, not an individual who believes, you see. So let's get some tools going. Now, I've decided, whoever's back there on the PowerPoint, I'm just going to read through chapter 4. All right? And it's all the way through these, and then I may go back to them. But if you want to switch them while I'm reading, you feel free to go ahead. Verse 1 of chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, since we have this ministry, by the way, before I get going, the Corinthians had a lot of problems, as I said last week. And what happened was, is Paul started the church, and then they had some problems. Paul went wrote him a letter and to help him with some of those problems. And then they got mad at him because there was other teachers, other religious people, other false teachers convincing them that Paul wasn't who he said he was. And then so he showed up to help reconcile and get everything back in order. And it was a situation. And this second letter is that some of them said, okay, well, maybe we were wrong, Paul. We love you. Come back. And, you know, all that. It was reconciliation. And then this letter is him saying, we forgive each other. Everything is great. Here's what we do to move forward. That's what 2 Corinthians is about. And he's here still defending his ministry, not just defending his ministry, but defending the gospel, because that's what his ministry is about. All right, now let's start verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we received mercy, we do not lose heart, since we have this truth, basically. Verse 2, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if, verse 3, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservant for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine in our out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Verse 11. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Verse 14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks and to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And then finally in verse 18, while we look at all the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That is a mouthful of truth right there. And I wanted to read through it because I didn't want to skip around and forget to read some of it. Because there's four different tools or four different words that we can focus on this morning to help us with our weaknesses and with our maybe even our sufferings or with our challenges, so that we can stand firm and we can be strong and we can be built up in the faith, and we would press on and continue to do the work no matter what's happening, good, bad, or in between, in our lives or in the church or around the world as the body of Christ, right? Because even though sometimes we get discouraged, maybe the body of Christ isn't very, doesn't seem very what we would call successful in our part of the world. It's very successful in other parts of the world. There's a lot of people getting saved by the blood of Christ because people are around the world are preaching the gospel in the middle of persecution. They're preaching the gospel. One of our missionaries over in India are constantly preaching the gospel in the face of persecution to children, adults, and everyone in between. And people are getting saved and churches are getting started and God is being glorified. And it's hard for them. And they keep doing the work. It's hard for us here in this country. But we have to keep doing the work. We have to keep on every day. It's another day to go into the world and make disciples. It's another day to present your witness to whoever might see it. Shine your light into the world so that some in the darkness might have a clue that God is real. And then have an opportunity to make a decision. Let me go see what that light is. Maybe they already know. Verses 1 through 6, Paul defends himself, right? He's like, according to their conscience. Right, he defends himself according to their conscience. He's like, "Look, y'all, I'm the one that started this church. How y'all going to sit there and think that I'm not, my gospel's not real? You have a church existing because I preached the gospel and y'all believed it, and then now you're a congregation of believers. So how can it be that you don't believe what I'm saying just because some of these highly intelligent and educated other people are saying something different than me, and I'm?" See, Paul wasn't very wealthy, and he didn't really look that great. Right? Remember when Jesus was crucified, and everybody was kind of like having trouble believing that he is the Christ, the time that he was on the earth to go to the cross, and a lot of the issue was that's not the king that they were looking for. He didn't look like a king. He didn't dress like a king. He didn't act like a king, not in a worldly way. How can a king come from that part of the world? You see, so they're doing the same thing to Paul. And he's like, look, how can you discredit what I'm teaching you if you believe the gospel from my lips? And then he said, look, the ones who want to see it will see it. The ones who want to see the truth, they'll see it. God will reveal it to them. It's the power of evil in the world that blinds those who are not really wanting to see. Isn't that something to think about? The power of evil in the world can blind someone so that they will not see the light of Christ. That doesn't seem possible, does it? But John talks all the time about how Satan is the ruler of this earth right now until Jesus comes back. Satan has his limited reign on the earth. He says it several times. He's the prince of this world, John does, the Gospel of John. You ever wonder why people hear the gospel so many times and they just refuse? And you know they know it, and they refuse to surrender to it. Part of it is because they really aren't looking for the truth about Jesus. They're not looking for God, so they won't find him. And another part of it is because they're so in love with their sinful ways that they don't care about the light. That's hard to imagine, that people are so in love with darkness that they just could care less about the light of Christ. That's a scary thing to think about. Here's the big idea. The first F is there's got to be a foundation in your faith. There's got to be a foundation in who you are in Christ. Right? There's got to be a foundation that all Paul is saying is, I preach Christ. That's all I do. I don't preach anything other than Jesus as Lord. That's all I've ever done, and that's all I'm ever going to do, and I suffer for it, but I'm going to keep doing it. All these other people that are teaching you and preaching you different things, they're not suffering for what they're preaching and teaching you, and it's not Jesus as Lord and Savior. So why are you listening to that? Why are you even considering that? There's no light there. You have to have a foundation that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's not just a Jesus Christ is Lord fact. We have to make it personal if we're going to be effective and stay strong in our witness. It has to be that Jesus Christ is my Lord. And you can't just say it. You have to live that. You have to live that Jesus Christ. And it's when we're suffering, when we're weak, when we're tired, when we're hurting, when we're defeated or depressed, whatever the case is, it has to be known by faith in our hearts that Jesus is Lord of my life. And whatever's going on here, he will tend to it. And I will have strength and wisdom to get through it. And if for some reason, whatever the struggle is, if it takes you out of this world, then your faith will know that that's it, that you're going to be with the Lord for eternity if you're saved by the blood of Christ, right? So the hope that we have for eternity and the hope that we have in Jesus as our Lord will override every other thing that comes into your mind about your sufferings and your hurts and your trials and your weaknesses. By the way, in case y'all didn't know this is another one of them sermons where I'm wondering, is the Lord talking to me directly, right? Which the answer is always yes. But it's like, okay, I'm going to share this, but I got to do this myself. I got to work on this myself. Okay, look at verse 7 through 12, right? When we look at verse 7 through 12, we get another tool for our tool bag to be strong in the Lord, to have courage in the Lord, to exercise our faith as people of faith who have hope in Christ. I like the way this says in verse 7. It says, well, we have this treasure in earthly vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. There's so much hope in that statement right there, y'all. When I first learned about being a Christian and learned about what it takes to be saved and got serious about wanting to know and started seeking the truth for my life, it was intimidating to me as a 30-year-old man, 28-year-old man or whatever, 25 or however long it took me to start seeking the Lord on a serious manner. It was intimidating to me because I didn't think I could do it. I didn't think I could be the Christian. I couldn't toe the line. I wasn't going to be able to do it right. I don't wear a suit very well. Not back then I didn't. Back then I could barely even tie a tie. In my mind, I had to go learn how to be the Christian. And the truth was that God had revealed to me just how weak I really was in my flesh, in myself. It was part of the process. Why do I care about a Savior if I don't even know if I need one? You see. So I needed the power of God in my life. Once I realized it's not my strength, it's His strength that I'm trading in for. I'm trading my strength in for His strength. I'm dying to self so that He could live in me, which brings the power of the kingdom of God into my life for His glory, right? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have the treasure. We have the most valuable thing there is in us, you see. Here's why. So that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. In Christ, we are great. Hello? And that's hard to say amen because we're taught to stay humble, aren't we? We're taught to be humble. It's like, well, okay, but it's not me. No, but it's Jesus in me that makes things great. That gives me the potential to be great. Especially when I feel weak. When I feel defeated. When I feel tired. When I feel even hopeless at times. When I feel like it's all for nothing. Because you know how the enemy will tell us lies and try to convince us that God just ain't making it happen. Or God doesn't care. Or God's not involved. Why would we suffer so much if this was all true? But hopefully we know that it's in our suffering that God fine-tunes our strength in Him. It's because of our suffering we can have stronger faith that His faithfulness will carry us through. That's what Paul's saying. He's like, look, I don't have a lot of fringe benefits for believing that Jesus is the Christ aside from going to heaven forever, for eternity, aside from having hope in my heart, aside from having God's strength, but I don't get all the worldly pleasures that everybody else gets because I don't want it. I don't need it. I have everything I need in Jesus. And that, y'all, is the strength of God. That's when Paul was talking about, I've learned to be content, whether in wealth or whether in poverty. In all things, I've learned to be content. The more we put our foundation in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and the more we depend on the power of God in our lives in all situations, the better off we will be in the middle of hard times and deep valleys. The people of God, the people of faith, we ought to be the strongest people on the planet, always. Now, I don't mean we don't ever struggle, and I don't mean we don't ever get weak, and I don't mean we don't ever hurt. But in that, we have a strength that no one has without Jesus. That's the foundation and the force. And then finally, the next is the faith. This all builds into our faith, doesn't it? Because Paul believed in the Lord and His resurrection. If he didn't believe that was true, he would be wasting his time. He never would have changed his direction when he was persecuting people for believing in Jesus if he hadn't met Jesus. If he hadn't got knocked off his horse and had to come to himself and spend some time realizing, okay, this is true and I was wrong. But as passionate as he was against the Christians, when he became a Christian, he was even more passionate about what he believed. Paul didn't have to be broke and poor all the time. He didn't have to find himself in weak places his life threatened all the time. He was somebody in the community before he became a Christian. He probably had a lot of wealth. I know he had a lot of knowledge and intellectual knowledge. But when he put his faith in Jesus, he surrendered everything to go do what Jesus called him to do, which calls his life into some areas of suffering and despair at times. But his faith was stronger and stronger because of it. Faith is what keeps us going, y'all, in all kinds of sufferings. It's faith. Faith is believing in what things that you can't put your eyes on, right? It's knowing the truth and accepting it for what it is, even if we can't understand completely how it works. Completely, all of God's plan, we don't get to know it, but we still believe Him. We know that when we leave this world, we're going to be with him for eternity. We know that if Jesus comes back right now, we know that we have security for eternity. Right? All the suffering in the world piled up into one moment should not erase that from our hearts. Right? It's all worth it. That's what Paul's saying. It's like, it's worth it. However bad it gets, it's worth it because of Jesus and because of who we are in him. So, we have foundation that Jesus is Lord and Savior, and we have the power of the kingdom of God, the force of God in our hearts and in our lives, and we have faith. Our faith is what exercises those things. And finally, in verse 16 and 18, he says, therefore, look, after I've said all of this other stuff, we don't lose heart. He didn't say, don't. He didn't try to encourage him to lose. He didn't say, I hope you don't lose heart, or please don't lose heart. He's like, this is who we are. We don't do this. We don't lose heart. Because of our faith, because of the force of the kingdom of God living in us, the treasure that's in us, which is our foundation. We don't lose heart. But through our outer man, though our outer man is decaying, y'all know that to be true, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Every day we're getting stronger and stronger. The closer we are to him, the more we exercise our faith, the more we learn about him, the more we spend talking to him and reading his word and singing his songs and serving the kingdom of God in this world, the more we are his, the stronger we get. And the stronger our faith is. Day by day. It's a journey. Be encouraged. That's not who we are. And when we see each other falling away or shrinking in our weakness, or when we see each other losing hope because things are hard, we're supposed to come along and encourage one another and say, that's not who we are. No, I know how you feel, but it's not the end. It's not the end because we have the power of God to get through this. Because we stand on Jesus as our foundation. So nothing will defeat us. Right? That's why there's songs written about it. There's so many sermons preached about it. Verse 8. He says we're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Bad things happen, but you don't die. Hello? Bad things happen. I'm almost done with physical therapy, y'all. Praise the Lord, because I am a lot better. But it's she's amazing. She told me, she's like, well, there's not much I can do else for you. I'm like, yeah, a lot of people tell me that. But we're getting to the end where I got to do the rest myself. But you know, every time since I started physical therapy, I've had other things happen to me, like smashing my finger, and I fell out of my truck one time, and a whole bunch of stories of things that happened to me that I think are funny. Even though I could have got hurt or did get hurt. And I go in there and she was like, how you doing? And I tell her about all these bad things that happened to me. She's like, I'm talking about your shoulder. But now we're at the end and we're like reminiscing about all the bad things that happened to me while she's been working on it. And every time she was like, because when the fingernail happened, the whole place, they were like, I don't want to look at your finger. Get away from me. And I, every time I'm like, well, it was bad, but I didn't die. That's what I say to him. I didn't die, though. I'm still here. That's the way it is, y'all. No matter what it's like. And I know it gets real bad. I've been there. Y'all been there. No matter what happens, we don't die. I was thinking about, you know, we're sitting here working as hard as we can to do our part to help recover from this storm that we've been through in this area, the hurricane. And I was talking to a preacher friend of mine about that, and we were discussing a few things. And then it's like the next day in the news, we got wildfires going on. I'm like, really? 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 And then you look at the whole world, and it's like every time we turn around, there's something going on in the world somewhere. I mean, it doesn't take long to find bad things, does it? Every day. And once we think we're getting past it, something else bad happens somewhere in the world. And if we're not careful, Christians, We can fall into this trap of woe is us that live on planet Earth, which will lead some people to say, where is God? Which will then lead them to answer the question for themselves that he must not exist, otherwise he wouldn't let all this bad stuff happen to anybody. It goes on and on. It just goes down this deep, dark hole where there's no light. But God expects the people of faith, the believers, to stay on the foundation in his strength, with his force, by faith, and stay focused on what's happening. The world is in decay since Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden. Y'all get that part. Why would we expect it to keep getting better when it's not going to? Whenever Jesus is coming back, from then until then, we have work to do. We got to shine the light in the darkness. And let me tell you something. Moses got tired. Standing up on the cliff like this right here. Until his instructions were, stand up there with your hands up in the air until the battle's over. Well, guess what happened? He got tired, didn't he? And he needed help, and he got help. As long as his hands were up, his hands started to come down, they start losing. His hands go up, they start winning. Hands go down, start losing. If I see your hands going down, you can bet I'm going to come over and try to help you lift them back up so that we can continue to do the work, continue on the assignment. Nowhere does it say go into the world and make disciples unless you don't feel like it, or unless you are sad, or unless you're hurting, or unless you're confused, unless you're just totally defeated. All of those things are going to happen at some point in our lives, but it doesn't excuse us from the job. You don't get to call in sick. You don't get to call in sad. Why? Because God has given us everything we need. Always. And he's always faithful. He's always faithful. And yeah, I know, I've been there. I know what y'all are thinking, and I know what goes on. Some of these hard times and these stressful times and these times of defeat, they last quite a while, don't they? They just seem like they never end. And here we are, one of the believers, Paul, he's like, Lord, can you just take this thorn out of my side? Please take this thorn. And God's like, yeah, no, we're going to leave that right there for a while. Did he stop preaching the gospel? No. Did he stop serving the Lord? No. He just went on in the middle of the suffering, somehow, some way. And it was all because of these things. You see? And I'm going to remind you, I'm preaching to myself more than I'm preaching to anybody else on the planet. Not that I'm trying to quit. Not that I'm feeling so bad that I can't make it. It's just things get tough sometimes. Right? We got a lot of great things going on here at the church, in this church. What I mean is the Lord is doing some good things for a lot of great people. And some people that are suffering in the world that we don't even know, right here in our community. God has used us in some pretty amazing ways. And I can tell you this, we didn't see it coming. Nobody saw it coming, right? I think we should have saw something coming. Let me take it back. We all did see it. I heard conversations before the storm ever hit. I heard conversations. I don't know what's going on, but I feel like the Lord's doing some great things and he's preparing us for something great. And I heard people saying that to each other. I said it to y'all, and y'all said it to each other. I heard it. And then a storm happens, and then we're all confused, and we're trying to figure out how to survive the storm. And somewhere in the middle of it, we're realizing, okay, this is the answer to the prayer that we've been asking the Lord to help us be connected in the community.
That's right.
In the suffering, the Lord used us to do great things for him. You see, while we were suffering, while they were suffering, God uses bad things to make great things many times. If we're paying attention, if we're focused. If he's the foundation, and it's his power, it's his force, and our faith is engaged, and our focus is there. Stay focused. Things don't look good, it's okay.
because the Lord's faithful, because he approves of that. He's not going to do great things and then quit on us. Right? He's never going to do great things in your home and then quit on you. Right? I'm going to do some great things for this man. You're not going to do some great things for this man. No, he can do great things in everybody's life at once. If we stay focused. Because why would Paul have to say to the Corinthians that there's some people that won't see because they don't want to see? That
evil has veiled their eyes. Evil has veiled their eyes to where they can't see the truth. They won't accept it. They want to live in their darkness, or they're just so lost, right? Because they're listening to the wrong truth, and they have no foundation. Unless you have Jesus, you have no foundation. I really wish that when that happened, it was like one of them great points I was trying to make, because it would have been like, boom! The power. That would have been sweet. I just want y'all to be encouraged. That's what I want from y'all. Because I see it sometimes. I see it in all of you. I pay attention to y'all. When I talk to y'all and y'all ain't acting like your normal self, I know there's something there. You may not want to talk about it. Maybe you do, but I always pray for you that way. I say, okay, whatever's going on there, we're going to ask the Lord to give them what they need to keep on and keeping on. Right? That's what we do. And I know y'all do that for me. That's why we're still here and we're still going. All right? I love you and the Lord loves you. We're going to... I am early. Y'all don't realize it, but I am a little bit early, so maybe it won't be so long on the meeting. If you're not saved, y'all, if you're not saved, you have no foundation. And if you know people that aren't saved, you know they don't have no foundation. So find some way to just love them enough to where they might see the light and start running to it.